Today, we're going to conclude our series of lessons on giving. And we've been talking about giving for the past couple of weeks. And we entitled this series of lessons, "It is More Blessed to Give Than to Receive." And this particular thought comes from Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. And there, the Apostle Paul was traveling back to the city of Jerusalem. He was coming from the northern part of Asia Minor along the coastline there. And he was traveling. Sometimes he would travel by boat and sometimes he would travel by land. And at this point, he wanted to meet with the elders at Ephesus, and he calls for them to meet with him, but he can't go to the city of Ephesus to meet them. He has to meet them at a little town called Miletus, which is on the coast. And so he goes down and he meets them in this little town, and most of this chapter is taken with the speech that he gives to the elders at Ephesus. And so in verse 17 all the way through verse 38 of Acts chapter 20. And toward the end of this speech, he makes this statement in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. "I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so these words, although they're not recorded in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nevertheless, the Apostle Paul tells us about them here. The Holy Spirit, by inspiration, gives these words to us through the Apostle Paul, that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so this lesson has been based upon these words. And we've been thinking about why it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when we started this series of lessons, we were talking about putting the focus on God instead of self. It is more blessed to give instead of receive because we put the focus on God instead of self. And we talked about, well, what happens when you think about yourself all the time? Well, you end up being so upset and so unhappy because the only thing you're thinking about is yourself. But you see, giving is not about self. It's about someone else. And so we give in order to get outside of our own head and all of the thoughts that we have all the time. We give to get involved in other people's lives. We noticed how the Pharisees, that they were very selfish in their giving. They sounded the trumpet while they gave so that people could see that they were giving. And they gave out of their excess. And they didn't really give the way they should, but they just gave to say, "Look at me. Look how great I am in giving." And so if we're giving in that way, then we're not giving about the right with the right reasons and with the right purposes in mind. But instead, giving should be about God. It should be first and foremost about God, about participating in His purposes and doing the things that God wants us to do within our life, about doing the work of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, about evangelizing others and helping the needy, and about recognizing that there is something greater than self for me to participate in. And God is that something. And giving, when we give, we're supposed to be thinking about God and the work that He wants us to accomplish and the things that He wants us to do with our lives. We give to God because He first gave to us. And we realize that God is the greatest giver. James tells us that He gives liberally and without holding back, without reproach to anyone. That's the way God gives, and that's the way we need to give, you see? Because giving is about God, and it's not only about participating in God's purposes, but it's about participating in God's character. You see, that's who we are. We're created in the image of God. And so to participate in God's character is to fulfill our being. It's to fulfill who God really created us to be. And you see, we need to do that within our life. And so we give because God first gave to us. And God is a gracious giver. And we need to be gracious in our giving and be imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. So that we can participate in the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. So that was our first lesson and our first thought. When we give, we're supposed to put the focus on God instead of self. And then last week, we noted this. That it is more blessed to give than to receive, because in giving, we participate in God's community and with God's people. And again, it's about something greater than us. We're social beings. We want to belong to something. And giving identifies me with a particular people. And we want to identify with God's people. We want to be part of God's people. Because those are the people who have the relationship that they need to have with God. Those are the people who are in God's graces, in God's favor, receiving His blessings. Those are the people who are part of God's family. And we want to be in God's family. And so giving identifies me with a particular people. Giving shows that I am in fellowship with God's people. That this is about participating with others, and that belonging with others, and engaging with others, that's what giving is about. And that's what I need to do as a giver. I need to engage in others and not be self-centered and not be self-motivated and not be self-just focused all the time. Because when we get outside of ourselves, we're going to see that we do the greatest thing that we can do to actually love ourselves in the way that God wants us to love ourselves. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. And so giving shows that I'm in fellowship with God's people, but it also allows the grace of God to dwell within our lives and to show that grace to others through our giving. And we want God's grace to be in our lives. And we want to have that kind of attitude that God has within our lives. We don't want to be of that stingy character like the old Scrooge, you know, from the Christmas story. But rather, we want to be gracious and giving and generous and kind and loving. All of those wonderful things that we want to experience. We can experience those things if we will give to others. God showed His grace through His giving, and we can show the grace of God within our life by giving as well. And when we first give ourselves to the Lord, that's when we really learn how to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And then the final point that we're going to focus on this morning is this, that it is more blessed to give than to receive, because when we give, we value others and thereby demonstrate how much we value ourselves. Now, this is an area that we can all work on, including myself, because let's face it, that sometimes we don't value others as we should. And we don't value ourselves as we should. Now, the reason we don't value others as we should is because we don't value ourselves as we should. And now you say, well, I value myself. I think well of myself. And we should think well of ourselves, but we shouldn't be conceited, okay? We shouldn't be arrogant, right? Not in that way. I'm not talking about that. Conceit and arrogance isn't thinking well of yourself, really. It's thinking ill of yourself. You just don't know it. But when we think well of ourselves, we give ourselves away to others. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Think about this for a minute. How do you know that God loves you? And you see, this is the way that I'm talking about when we're thinking about valuing ourselves. We think about it in terms of what God has done for us. That's how we value ourselves. How do you know that God loves you? Is it not by what God has given? Now think about that for just a moment. You know that God loves you because of the things God has given. Now, isn't that right? Think about that for just a moment. And think about what the Bible teaches. Think about that great verse of the Bible that everyone loves and that everyone thinks about all the time. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3 and verse 16. You see, God demonstrates His love to us by what He has given to us. And that tells you how much you are worth. That tells us how much our value is. That tells us what God really thinks about us. You see, He loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son on the cross to die for us so that we might have hope of eternal life. Yes, God shows His love by giving. Now that's an important point to think about. How do you know God loves you? By what He has given to you. In Galatians 1 and verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ," listen to it, "who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." How much does Jesus love you? He loves you this much, right? That's how much Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that He gave Himself for you, for your sins. But notice, He gave. That's how much He loves you. He gave. Now, when we think about this, that God loves us so much that He gave, that Jesus loves us so much that He gave. And when we think about loving others, when we think about loving God, when we think about loving Jesus, when we think about loving God's people, the church, when we think even about loving ourselves, we need to think about giving. There is no love without giving. We've got to give in order to love. We value others and thereby demonstrate how much we value ourselves when we give. And so we've got to be involved in giving. We've got to really give of ourselves. We've got to give to God. We've got to give to Christ. We've got to give to the church. We've got to give to our friends and our family and our neighbors, everyone around us. We've got to give to them. What do we give? We give ourselves. That's what we give. Now look, when we give ourselves, we don't have to worry about these numbers up here on the board because we're going to be doing what God wants us to do, okay? When we give ourselves, we're really going to give in the way that God wants. God doesn't care about the amount. That's not what He cares about. He cares about you. And that you give and how you give. That's what God wants to see. That's what God finds pleasing, is giving of ourselves. Now think for a moment, if you would with me, about the second commandment. The second commandment. Now you know the first commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then Jesus says this, the second, that is the second commandment, is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the second commandment. Now the second commandment is dependent upon our doing something right. That is loving ourselves. Because if we don't know how to love ourselves, we're not going to know how to love our neighbor. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now I want you to think about that for just a minute. Some people don't know how to love themselves. And because of that, they're dysfunctional within their life, and they don't act right in certain situations, and they have some problems. Some people just don't know how to love themselves. And so because of that, they don't know how to love their neighbor properly either. But I want you to think about something for just a moment in relationship to giving. To giving, okay? You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. How much do you give yourself? How much do you give yourself? I'll think about that for just a moment. What do I give myself? Well, I give myself food. I give myself clothing. I give myself some fun things to do in my life. I give myself work. I give myself the Lord's Word. I give myself so many things. And now we need to give ourselves things that God wants us to give ourselves. Okay? Now God loves us and He's given us a lot of things. He's given us His Word, right? He gives us food. He gives us shelter. He gives us clothing. He gives us all these things in this life, in this world. He is the greatest giver, okay? And so when God gives us something, it's okay to give ourselves those things. If we have the right perspective. If we keep it about God and not about self, right? Because we start to fixate on any of those things and blow them out of proportion, then they become sinful for how we use them. Not because of what they are, but because of how we use them, right? So I could give myself food and give myself so much food that that becomes a big problem for me, right? And that would be wrong for me to do that. So, but when I give myself the things that God gives me, keeping in mind that it is God who has given these things to me and that I'm to be thankful for them and appreciative of them and to respect them as the gifts that they are, not as so many times what we make them to be in assigning wrong value toward them. When I do those things in that way and keep in mind God, then I am loving myself as God loves me, right? Now take that thought, the idea, the question, what do you give yourself? Now take that thought and translate it to what do you give others? Now if you look at yourself and you say, well, I give myself all of these things, and then by comparison, what you give others is so minusculely small, well then maybe you need to think about changing your life a little bit. Maybe you need to think about giving a little bit more to those who are around you. Maybe you need to think about people, other people, more often than you think about yourself. And maybe, just maybe, you ought to take some of those things that you're giving to yourself and give them to others. Because we're supposed to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Do you see how that works? That's what that means. It means giving to others. It means helping others, providing for others who really need help. Mason, bring me a songbook real quick. I forgot to bring one up here with me. I want to illustrate this by a great song in our songbook. Thank you so much. A great song in our songbook. It's song number 556. And so open your songbooks to song number 556. So far as I know, we've never sung this song here, but it has such an important point, and it's so illustrative of what we're trying to say here in regard to giving. Okay? Now look at what this song says. It's called There Is a Sea. There is a sea. And it's about two different bodies of water over in the Palestine area, over in the Middle East. One body of water is the... Actually, it's about three different bodies of water, if you think about it. It's about, first of all, the Sea of Galilee, and then the Jordan River, and then the Dead Sea. Okay, and if you've ever seen a Bible map, you know how those are connected together. The Sea of Galilee lies in the north, and it feeds water into the Jordan River, which then runs south. And then the Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is one of the lowest points, if not the lowest point, I think, in the world, below sea level. And so no water runs out of the Dead Sea. The water only runs into the Dead Sea. Now, it evaporates. But because it evaporates, it leaves all of the salts and everything else in that sea. And that sea is salty. And the salt content of that sea is like, I don't know, 5 to 10 times more than that of the ocean. It's so salty in that sea. Now, this is what the song is about these three different bodies of water. Now, look at what it says. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills and streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. So let's think about that for just a moment. That's the Sea of Galilee. Every day it receives these wonderful streams of sweet water from all the different springs that are around the hills of cedar up in the north of the Sea of Galilee, and all of this fresh water is flowing into the Sea of Galilee. All right. Now look at the next part. But what it thus receives, it gives. With glad, unsparing hand, a stream more wide, with deeper tide, flows on to lower land. All right? So what is that saying there? It's saying what it receives, that wonderful fresh spring water and mountain water, the snowmelt water it receives, it gives. And where does it give it? It gives it in the Jordan River. And so the Jordan River flows out of the Sea of Galilee. And so what the Sea of Galilee receives, it gives, and it gives even greater than what it receives. A stream more wide with deeper tide. And what does it do? It flows on to lower land. So that's the first sea, the Sea of Galilee. Now for the second sea, the Dead Sea. This is verse 2. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide. It gets even more water than the Sea of Galilee gets. But all its store it keeps, nor gives, to shore nor sea beside. In other words, all the water that flows into it, everything it receives, it just keeps for itself. Right? It doesn't go anywhere else. Listen, its Jordan stream now turned to brine. That's the salt in the sea. Lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead. So it's the Dead Sea. They call it the Dead Sea because nothing escapes from it. Everything comes into it. It receives it. It takes it. It keeps it for itself. And it is dead. Now here's the lesson. Verse 3. Which shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? So the choice is before us. What's it going to be? How are we going to live our life? Are we going to be like the Sea of Galilee, who receive and then gives? Or are we going to be like the Dead Sea that just receives only? That's the question that we're asking. That's the question the song is asking. Which shall it be for you and me, who God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone, or take to give again? Right? Now look at the lesson. For he who once was rich indeed laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransomed race should share his wealth and crown. And we remember what Jesus did for us on that cross in giving to us so richly. We now need to turn around and all the blessings that God gives us, use those so that we can give to others. We really do declare how much we love God and how much we love others in our giving. Listen to what John said in 1 John 3:17 through 18. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We need to love as God has loved. And that means we need to give as God has given. And it is more blessed to give than to receive, because in giving we value others and truly demonstrate how much we value ourselves. It is more blessed to give than to receive, because in giving we put the focus on God instead of self. It is more blessed to give than to receive, because in giving we participate in God's community and with God's people. And it is more blessed to give than to receive, because in giving we value others and we demonstrate how much we value ourselves. Have you given your life to Him? Don't hoard selfishly the blessings that God has given you. No, use those for others. Go out, be with people, give yourself away to others, and you will see the great blessings of God multiply in your life. You will be like that Sea of Galilee, in which there is life and abundance and joy, and people live along the shores and they build houses and they fish there and they bring in their catch and they feed others, and there's so much joy. But you know, along the Dead Sea, nobody lives there. Nobody wants to be there. It's hot. It's barren. And no one wants to go there because there is nothing there to give. Why not give your life to Christ this very moment? Be His so that you can give to others. Come now. Make your request known to Him while together we stand and while we sing.